as Mary and Joseph went on the pilgrimage of faith to Jerusalem, so we too have come on a pilgrimage of faith today to this place of worship. Meet us, O God, as we gather, and open our eyes to see the eternal truths all around us, calling us into love and more love, and things that are everlasting. Amen. And so let us hear, and if we are willing to quietly sing or hum the great carol, See Amid the Winter's Snow.
Thank you.
Great and wonderful God, we thank you that in your good time you broke into humanity, coming in humility to demonstrate the power of your love. We adore you for coming first to the least and the lost, for that gives hope for ourselves. We rejoice that no place was too foul for you, yet you graced the lowliest of places, a cattle trough, and transformed it into your throne of grace. We rejoice that your family was not perfect, yet by your presence you made it holy. We worship you that you set aside convention and received to yourself all who would come to you. As we continue in this curious Christmas season, reveal yourself to us as to the first to see you, that we might experience anew the wonders of your love, the wonders of your love, the wonders of your love. Father, your Son was born into a world no more fair than our own, yet retained his integrity, renewed hope and love, and recreated a vision of the world as you intended it to be. Father, this is still an unfair world. It is not the world you planned. And we confess that we have not been amongst the first to make it better. It is Christmas, and we spend more on presents than some spend in a year. We decorate our houses while others have no shelter. We overeat while others starve. We settle for complacent peace while many live with intolerance and oppression. Lord, forgive us and help us to use this Christmas to rethink our place and calling in your world. Amen.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking.
We're now going to hear a modern song that reflects on Simeon's story, Simeon's song about his hope having now been fulfilled in Jesus.
Salvation laid before me, which you've prepared for all to see, your light, your glory here to set us free, just like you promised, just like the prophet said. The hope of the world is here. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, the wait is done. Our King has come to us, Jesus. Told, we see the face of God before us. Let us wait no more to bow and to adore our Lord, our God, our King forevermore. Just like God promised. Just like the prophet said, the hope of the world is here. Oh yeah, yeah, yes. Jesus, Jesus, the way is done. Our King is come. Jesus, we can now give.
hidden.
He was a God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. She was a prophetess and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. He was a God-fearing man. She was a prophetess. This visit to the temple was not the naming ceremony nor the circumcision, which happened 7 days after the birth of a child, but rather the purification. As such, it was less about Jesus than it was about Mary. This ritual took place some 40 days after the birth, when, at least in theory, the mother might have got her strength back following the birth, and when her life's rhythm was re-established. It was a routine ritual, hardly worthy of comment in the great gospel of transformation, except that it was a ritual that fulfilled righteousness. And as we look at this story, we find the central characters already are not Joseph, Mary, or Jesus, but Simeon and Anna. Simeon was clearly actively engaged in the ritual and religious life of the temple, almost certainly a priest whose turn of duty it was to be in the temple to greet the travellers or pilgrims and to receive their sacrifices. But seemingly he was unusual in knowing, not just as a theological teaching, but in the depths of his heart, that a saviour was expected. And he was alert with anticipation. He was actively waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. Similarly for Anna, she had grown old and wise in the ways of the temple. She had seemingly been taken under the temple's care as a young widow, and found her place of service in that fellowship. But she too had the gift of vision, of recognising that God's hand at work ultimately lay beyond the confines of the temple. And so it was on this particular day that Joseph, Mary, and the baby, these almost incidental characters in the expectation of the day, arrived at the temple. But Simeon and Anna realised that they were not incidental. They were not simply yet another family coming for purification rituals, but that family, that baby, that saviour, which had been anticipated and for which they waited. And for each of them, Simeon and Anna, that mutual confirmation of the Spirit's promptings was itself important in the discernment process that the law demanded. He was waiting. She never left the temple. The salvation that Simeon and Anna were aware of had been anticipated. The birth of a saviour was expected. They were not simply sitting around the temple whiling away their time until the miracle happened. Rather, they were exercising their calling as they had perceived it, knowing that in good time that calling would itself be transformed. They were waiting and they were serving. So what is it that whilst we serve God in the here and now, yet we are still waiting for? And how are we working towards that something occurring? I'm sure, like me, you will have had friends or colleagues who have made the comment about our preparations for Christmas, or perhaps their own preparations, about the anticipation that was something like, just think, in so many days, all the fuss will be over and we'll be back to normal. Let's remember our Welsh neighbours return to lockdown tomorrow. But in the Christian calendar, we continue to reflect on the transformative salvation wrought through Jesus for another 10 days or so, until Epiphany, when the full enlightenment is revealed to all nations. Well, this year, of course, we have no idea what getting back to normal will look like in the weeks or months that are yet to come. But Christ's birth should mean that normality is transformed. It's not the same as it was before, because in the incarnation, God entering the world, something has changed. This year has been traumatic for most. Restrictions on our freedoms, shielding measures, furloughing, job losses, an enhanced death rate, particularly amongst the most vulnerable, and isolation from loved ones. For many, these have had significant mental health impacts, or has resulted in a lack of stimulation, or a deterioration in mental capacities that may never be recovered. It's been a tough year, and it's fair to say that we are far from over this pandemic. The bleak news about the economy and employment levels is likely to become significantly worse yet. So what is this good news that we have been preparing for, as well as waiting for? What of the good news anticipated through Advent? Good news that we now might see as having come in the birth of Jesus. Well, record charitable giving. Numerous stories of people's determination and generosity, record levels of volunteering, and a new sense of community and of society. I've spent a little bit of time at Trinity over the last few weeks, just helping to be a presence whilst Nigel is on his sick leave and his recuperation. And it is astonishing to see the generosity of friends and neighbours in our community, longing and yearning and doing something for those who are less fortunate than themselves. Anna and Simeon were waiting and looking for Israel to be saved, for Jerusalem to be set free. What from? And what for? Israel, the nation, the people, certainly felt the need to be saved from Roman occupation. Although in some ways it might be argued that the majority actually enjoyed better rights and privileges under Roman rule than ever they had as a separate nation. Jerusalem, when it's described in the Old Testament, often refers not to the whole people, nor even to the city, but actually to the religious elite. If that's the case, then Anna was looking for release from their burdensome religious rituals and their corrupted sacrificial impositions. Even though she and Simeon were themselves embroiled in them, Anna and Simeon knew that this Israel, this Jerusalem, needed to be saved not so much from the external oppressive political regime, but from the self-importance of their pride in being fastidious followers of the law of Moses. The system had risked overwhelming a true vision of faith and hope. It was an opportune time, and now this humblest of children was before them for a purification ritual, and they saw that he was the very embodiment of all that they looked for. Their apparently lone voices were now joined by another voice, the Word of God incarnate. Their apparently lone hope had been fulfilled in the promise that this child represented. Anna and Simeon saw in Jesus not just another chance for salvation, in the sense that exists in every new birth, but the ultimate choice for salvation. There was no longer a need for them to be the prophetic voice, because God had spoken. Simeon could depart in peace, not because he was exhausted, but because his work was complete. Anna's prophecies could, she saw, finally come to fruition. She could reveal the true identity of this child as the promised Messiah to whom all should listen. So what for us today? What does it mean in us for Israel to be saved and Jerusalem to be set free? For our churches to be released. The fundamental meaning of Christmas should perhaps, like Simeon and Anna, be to recognise that whatever it is that we might have worked for, whatever it is that we've longed for in terms of our fulfilment of our calling, is in the Christ child, now assured. So ask yourself again, what have you, in your life and faith, been working towards? And what have you been waiting expectantly for? And have you, in the gift of this Christ child, received it, no longer needing to wait for Emmanuel? God is with us. We too can depart. Depart the old year, and what a year we want to put behind us, and indeed the old covenant, in peace, in Jesus' birth, just as much as in his death. He calls out to us, it is finished. So as we will very shortly enter the new year, we will again, or may again, enter into the new covenant of God's incarnation, transforming us into what he has always called us to be.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest.
And so let us bring our prayers for others before God. Let us pray. Today we honour Simeon and Anna. Old. Both. They had a light that sustained them. They both held strongly to that which they knew they hoped for. May we, people of all ages, even in this time, be held together by what sustains us. Whether 7 or 70, may we know that the birth of Christ and the redemption that that brings into being is what is most important. God, in your mercy, hear us. Today we honour all shapes of families, families of choice, families by adoption, families by birth, families in grief, families in multiple homes and at this time separated, families in negotiation, families in care, families in support. In all shapes of family, may there be found words of love and kindness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today we pray for those who are ignored because of their age. In an era where youth and beauty are praised, we have so often ignored wisdom, experience, long-standing faithfulness and perspective. And in an era where the young are kept young, we pray for all who have felt overlooked, for all who have love and wisdom to share. God, in your mercy, hear us. Today we pray for those known to us in a particular need who have had a difficult Christmas, perhaps due to separation as a consequence of COVID, perhaps due to separation through other reasons. Lord our God, we pray for those known to us and those who ought to be known to us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so let us unite in our saying together of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so let us draw our worship to its close today. Let us pray. Lord, your faithful servants Anna and Simeon had dreams and visions that sustained them into their old age. Enrich us all with visions and dreams that sustain us from one decade to the next. See that our eyes might always be bright with the life that we see all around. Send us out today and all days with this love and this vocation. And may your blessing, the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all forevermore. Amen.